Well, the Lord must want us to focus on His love this morning, because not only is the whole song service been about His love towards us, but I felt led of the Lord to speak about His love from a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I know we have a reading schedule that I gave you, and we've been trying to go by that as we go through 1 Corinthians, but I really felt led of the Lord to speak on this passage, so we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin, and you'll see that passage in there. It's a wonderful passage about how to know and how we can know the love of God. And that's what I want us to understand this morning more than anything else. If we can just get a hold of how much Jesus Christ loves us and cares for us and what He wants to fill us with, His great love, I think we will be encouraged and blessed by His Holy Spirit working in us. Let's read in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to His riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height." And that's referring to God's love. "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would speak to our hearts this morning, that we would get a glimpse of how vast Your love is towards us, that we would get an understanding of that wonderful love that You have for us. I pray, Lord, that You would work mightily as we dwell on Your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want us to see verse 14 again. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." These verses tell us that Jesus is the creator of everything. Jesus is the creator of everything. Now, we have yet to get to understand just what everything means. Think about it for a minute. Jesus is the creator of everything in heaven and everything in earth, and He is trying to get us to see just how powerful He is. So He reminds us that He is this creator of heaven and earth. Now, we can't put our minds around how big this world is, how vast this universe is. I Googled, and you can Google this too, how big is the universe? How big is the universe? And of course, you get some sites to go to. And I clicked on a couple just to see how big our universe is, how much we actually know. And one of the sites said that the observable universe that we, what we can see, just what we can see, is 93 billion light years around. That if we look one way, we can see 46 billion light years one way and still see stars. look the other way. We can look 46 billion light years. Don't tell me how they measure that, but don't ask me how they measure that, but that's what they see. That's how far we can see, and there's still no end. Okay? Now, a light year is a long way. Okay? 1 second. Light travels at the speed of 346,000 miles a second. So a year, that's like 9 trillion trillion miles away. Okay? So one of the analogies they gave, one of the illustrations they gave is that our sun, you know, our sun is big. And it's a long way away from the earth. But if you put a penny on the floor, the Milky Way, the next star, closest star to us, okay, Andromeda, I think it is, would be 350 miles away. If the sun was the size of a penny, it'd be the next star would be 350 miles away. And our Milky Way would be 7 million miles away, okay? It's just hard to grasp all that. Now, think about this. With those scales, the Milky Way would just be like a grain of sand in an enormous universe still. That's how big our universe is, just what we can observe, okay? Now, how light travels, we have a hard time understanding that still. How can something that was 46 billion light years away, how can we get light from it? Well, God, when he created everything in the beginning, made it that way. And that's all we can understand about it. God, what the point is this. The reason I point this out is important because God is using his universe as an illustration of the power that he wants to display in his relationship with you. You see, God wants to have a relationship with you whereby his riches and glory, by his vast power and everything that he has available to him, is shown to you and his love is shown to you. That's what he wants you to understand. He wants you to understand that his love towards you is vast, and he wants to show it to you by his power. The reason the Bible points out creation, and I try to explain how vast it is it has to do with your relationship with Jesus. Look at verse 16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Okay? So that's what we're wanting. All the things that are listed here after this passage are available to us according to his riches and glory. Now, we think about riches as gold and hunting rifles and all those kind of things. But that's insignificant compared to all the things we see that God has created in his universe. Okay, so we need to understand that. He wants these things, his love, his peace, his joy, this relationship that Jesus wants to have with you. He wants to give it to you and provide it to you according to his riches in glory. Now, so as we look at this passage, we need to see that Jesus wants to do in our lives. And as we see what he wants to do in our lives, let's remember that Jesus, the creator of the universe, wants to have these experiences with us in a powerful way. Now, sometimes we just think of God as someone way out there that we can't reach and he can't reach us. But that's not what we're getting from this passage of Scripture. We're getting a God who is powerful and wants to reach down to us and help us and show us His love and have a personal relationship with us. And He is making it available to us by His vast power. Okay? That's what we need to see. And I hope we will get a glimpse of what He wants for us and realize that if He wants it and He's willing to put all His power behind it, then we can have it. Okay? Now look at verse 16 again. It says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Now understand, God's riches are available for your inner strength and stability. Jesus wants to give you inner strength. He wants to strengthen you in your spirit by His Holy Spirit. And that is where the true power of God is displayed, in Himself, the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is praying for us in that we would be made mighty with power through God's Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. God. You know, we believe in the triune God, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The same God who created this entire universe is the God that wants to dwell inside you and strengthen you in your inner person. He wants to give you strength. So many people in this world are downtrodden. They are depressed, and they are without hope in this world. They look at this world and they're without hope. That's not the relationship, and that's not what God wants for you. God doesn't want you to just look at life in a pessimistic way, where all you see is the bad, where all you see is no hope, where all you see is misery. No, that's not what God wants for you. God, by His power and by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wants to indwell you and strengthen you in your inner person so that you can have joy and peace and His love dwelling in you. So that you don't have to look at this life in a way that brings no hope. So that you can look at this life in a way that brings you joy. You know, we sung some wonderful songs this morning that should fill us with great joy. The fact that we can know His love, the fact that we have eternal life available to us if we'll trust in Him, and those who have trusted in Him can know for sure that no matter what happens on this earth, the God who created the whole universe has filled me with His Spirit and will never stop loving me, and I will have eternal life. That is something to be happy about. That is something that should fill us with great joy. So this Holy Spirit indwells us. God's Holy Spirit. The inner man described is the center of our spiritual and psychological life. We are a three-part person, body, mind, and spirit. And when you have the Lord strengthening and indwelling you and strengthening your spirit, it will help your mind and your body. Think about that for a minute. If your spirit is strengthened by God, it affects your mind. And your mind starts thinking good thoughts because you are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And when your mind is thinking good thoughts, your body feels better. And we know that's the case. When we think bad thoughts, we know that our body can feel bad. That's how we get ulcers, right? All kinds of other things. So God really wants to help us. He really does. So Paul prays that through God's Holy Spirit working in us, that we would have a mighty inner strength. It is that strength that will motivate us to do God's will with joy. Let me ask you a question. What are you struggling with, even though you know it's God's will? What are you struggling with, even though you know it's God's will? It may be something as simple as coming to church. You know the Lord wants you to come, but you have trouble coming. It may be more personal, like bitterness towards someone. It may be an addiction to something. It may be letting go of your goals to surrender to God's goals for you. Whatever it is, you can have victory over these areas and more in your life if you will ask God to strengthen you by His Spirit. His Spirit is powerful, certainly powerful enough to help you in any area of your life. He created the vast universe we see. Remember, His power is great enough. God doesn't want you to live for Him on your own strength. God doesn't want you to live for Him without having His joy in your life. God doesn't want you to live for Him without having His peace in your life. So if that's the case, then we can rely on His power, not our strength, but His power to accomplish what He calls us to do. And when we experience His peace, it makes doing His will a joy. It makes doing His will a joy. So that's what we need to see. Now, not only that, there are two more riches available here. You may say, well, I have asked, but I still struggle. Well, maybe you need to understand two more riches that are available to you. First of all, look at verse 17 again. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, the first thing I see here is the presence of Christ in your heart through faith. You say, well, how do I experience the presence of Christ in my heart? Through faith. Through trusting in Jesus. The only thing hindering you from having a relationship with Almighty God where He gives you His power is your lack of faith in Jesus Christ. Because when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, He takes away that barrier. Sin is the barrier between you and Jesus Christ filling you with His Holy Spirit, filling you with His love, strengthening you in your inner person. And so if you have that sin wiped away, then you'll get that strength. And that strength comes from faith in Jesus Christ. So when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we say, Lord, I'm trusting in You to forgive me of my sins based on Your death, burial, and resurrection. Then His Holy Spirit indwells you, and you start on this journey of Him revealing His love to you. Now, as Christians, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, our faith also determines how much we experience this love. How much we experience this love. You know, I can go through life believing that Jesus Christ is my Savior and that He's forgiven me of my sins, and yet not experience what the Bible here calls the fullness of God. Because I'm not trusting Him in every aspect of my life. When I get up in the morning and I go out to the car to go to work, and it doesn't start, and I get out the sledgehammer, and I start banging on the motor, right? I'm not experiencing the love of Christ in my life. I'm not. I have to trust the Lord. But when I trust the Lord and I go out to the car and it doesn't start, I can say, Lord, you must have a reason for this. Help me to have peace as I fix this car. Right? See the difference? Then I've experienced the love of God. And not only that, I know that He's going to work it out. And so it makes it so much better. You see how the joy of the Lord comes when you are focused on His love? Don't forget that the Lord loves you. It says, rooted and steadfast in His love. When you realize that the God who created everything loves you, and that's how He's looking at you, I think a lot of Christians, including myself, look at my relationship with God something like a judge and a dictator. He's the judge and dictator, and I'm the guy just trying not to get hit with the lightning bolt, okay? And so as I go through life and I do something that I know I shouldn't, I'm looking for the lightning bolt to come down and hit me. That's not the relationship we have with the Lord, okay? When you trust the Lord as your Savior, God looks at you with His vast amount of love. Love that can't be measured. Height, width, depth. It's so enormous. It's like trying to measure the universe. And He is looking down at you with that kind of love. Now, if I have this truth in my mind, that when God's looking at me, He's not looking down at me as a judge and a dictator, but as someone who is so in love with me that He sent His only begotten Son, perfect Jesus, to die on the cross for me. And He wants to pour that love out on me. If I'm thinking of Him in those terms, and that's the real way He looks at us, as His objects of love. If He's looking at me like that, and I know that, then no matter what happens in my life, I can deal with it. I can deal with it because I know all that is happening in my life is being allowed to happen to me because God loves me, not because He hates me. Not because He's trying to punish me for something, but because He loves me. And all that happens in my life, at the end of my life, God is going to show me why He allowed those to happen based on His love. And then when it's all said and done, I get to be in eternity with a God whose love for me will never run out. You understand that? That's what this is trying to convey as well. His love is so vast for us, it will never run out. Well, I think I can have some peace based on that. I think I can realize that my life, although it has struggles and trials, can bring me to a point where I'm stable, even though I've got all kinds of stuff going on around me. I can have a stable peace in my life because I'm focused on the love of Jesus Christ. If you are blown around, if you are blown around by every temptation and unstable in your walk, then you need the Lord's love abiding in you. Let His love abide in you. You will see that as you trust in the Lord and allow His love to abide in you and you're relying on His great love for you, your life will be more stable, your spirit will have inner strength. That's what we need. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, God's riches are available so we can experience His vast love. I've already talked about this a little bit, but I want you to understand, experiencing the love of God is what makes walking with Him joyful. The more I understand how much Jesus loves me, the more I want to do for Him, and the more my joy for the Lord grows. Now, remember, we can rely on His love, and that His love was so great that He died on the cross for our sins. Jesus took on the burden of the cross, so with the joy of being in a relationship with you in mind. Let me say that again and try and say it so you can understand it, so I can understand it. Think about it for a minute. It was Jesus' love for you that motivated Him to go to the cross. But not only that, it was that love and that He had in mind, that future joy that He was going to experience in having a relationship with you. You realize the end game for Jesus doing what He did was to have a loving relationship with you. So it was that joy of knowing you that made Him go to the cross and kept Him on the cross until He died and rose again. So we need to understand that. We need to see that as we look at our life and our relationship with the Lord, that He wants us to experience this love and experience the fullness of God. That's why that's why He died on the cross for us. And that's what should make us want to live for Him. He wants to have this relationship with us. He is the one we can experience great peace and joy and love in. Now, do you want to be filled with the fullness of God? That is the question. If you do, ask Him to help you comprehend His love for you, and that His love would abide in you to the point that it makes living for Him a joyful experience. That's what we need. We need to get past just looking at the cross, past the misery on this earth, and look toward the joy we have in dwelling with God in all His love for all eternity. I can bear my cross with joy knowing that I got this relationship with a loving God for all eternity. That's what we need to see. Okay? So, finally, let's look at verse 20. Finally and quickly, because I'm really looking forward to some pheasant a la king. Amen? Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever. Amen. Finally, God's riches are available so He can glorify His Son by displaying His power through us. You will bring glory to Jesus as you ask God to display His power in your life by giving you spiritual riches. Jesus is glorified when He gives us inner strength and stability through His Spirit and abiding love. Christ's power is displayed greatly as we allow Him to work in our lives. This should be our goal as individuals and as a church, that God's powerful riches would be on display in our lives.